So that was a wonderful, wonderful message with our young disciples. And I am indeed going to ask you all the same question, although I'm going to give you a little more time to think about it. I want you to think back about this past week, this last week in your lives. We were, most of us, here last Sunday, so go back to the days between then and now, between last Sunday and today, and remember your week, everyone, young and old alike. Participate in this. Broad strokes, work, school, travel, projects, homework, eating out, going to bed. Just flip through the week. And now think of one particular day last week, Monday or Tuesday and so on, Friday or yesterday, Saturday. Find one particular day in your mind's eye from last week. Everyone, you all lived through days last week. Find one and think more deeply about it. Have you got one in mind? Now, I wrote this last night before I remembered Valentine's dance and lateness of nights, but close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. But go to the beginning of that day from your last week. What time did you wake up? How? Did you set an alarm? Is your body just on an internal clock that wakes up at the right time? Was it still dark outside? Was it cold when you threw the covers off? What happened once you got out of bed? Newspaper, coffee, before you have to wake the children? Or children, do you wake your parents up? Or get started in the shower before they are up? No children at home? How about your spouse? Where are they? What are they doing? No children or spouse? Is it quiet? Do you turn on the radio or the television? Silence as you come awake, perhaps. Okay, you get it. I want you to remember deeply this day you have chosen, not just the beginning now, but the whole day. I'm going to step out of the way a little bit of your remembering by not talking so much, but still push you through a little bit. What happens after the first moments that you wake up on this day? When did you leave the house? Did you go someplace you'd never been before? Or were you in the usual places on this day? When did you get back home? What did you do for dinner? Who was with you, if anyone? Did you watch television or work on a school project or read a book? And when was bedtime? How did it feel to crawl back into that bed after that day? Think about that day. Can you really remember it? Did it fly by or did it drag on? Were you glad that it was over or sorry to see it end? Did anything change in your life because you lived that day? Did you change anyone else's life because you lived that day? What difference did that day make? Okay, if you're not asleep, you can open your eyes or keep them closed, but what difference did that day make in your life, to you or to someone else? Put a few days together now, if you can, maybe the whole week. What difference did last week make in your life? Or in someone else's. No pressure now, maybe not much difference at all, and that's okay. I just want you to look back and think. Remember last week, those days, one particular day in your life more deeply. This morning our reading from Mark's gospel account is about a day in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. It's the first day of Jesus' formal ministry in Mark's gospel. Mark is not concerned with Jesus' birth, infancy, or childhood, of course, but in Mark's gospel so far, John the Baptist has given his proclamation. Jesus has been baptized, tempted in the wilderness, and has returned. He's traveled to Galilee, called some fishermen to follow him, and gone to Capernaum on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a new day begins for him. Listen for the word of God. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not just as the scribes. Jesus' day begins. I'm not sure that you've identified your own life, your own day, with this day, Jesus' day, just yet. You do begin one day, at least, of your week going to your synagogue, coming to this place, our sanctuary, our church. But not many of you enter here and begin to teach. A few of you do. Those few and I am engaged right away with this reading. Jesus has only just begun. And for my part, I'm already envious. I would love to have similar results on Sunday morning from my own teaching and my own preaching. Astonishment and authority. I never want to think of the Sunday school lesson or the sermon message as a performance. It's no doubt a big reason I don't utilize my former profession as much as I perhaps should. And I also cringe at any comparisons to Jesus, but I dare to hope that lives are touched with the teaching that happens here on Sunday morning from all who teach. It's a wonderful way for any day to start. Let's continue. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. So after that first astonishing and astounding teaching, Jesus gives his first healing, an exorcism, no less. Any parallels to that day in your life you were remembering? I don't know, just getting out of bed sometimes. A bit miraculous. Exercising the demons that would keep you comfortable under your warm sheets. Anyway, again, astonishment, teaching, and healing. They were all amazed. Verse 27, they were all amazed and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Our own day is perhaps looking a little less productive, I know. Verse 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came up and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. More healing. Now, I'll bet if you're like me, your attention on this part of Jesus' day is focused on what Simon's mother-in-law did just after Jesus healed her. We're sensitive to the treatment of women, not only in ancient societies, but in our own today. Perhaps some of you are chafing at this woman's restoration to health only to serve the men, as if Jesus himself healed her only so he could get a cold drink and something to eat. But you notice Jesus didn't command her to do any such thing in this story. The mother-in-law assumes the initiative. Having received, she offers. Having been served, she serves. She is, in fact, Jesus' first servant in the Gospel of Mark. The others, including Simon and Andrew, whose house it is, haven't done anything at all yet. Now, I'm still wondering how this day in Jesus' life parallels our day, our days. We haven't identified much with Jesus yet, I'll bet. What about the others sharing that day? Having received, are we giving back? Think back again to that day last week. Did you serve anyone? You received, if only a new day, but I'm sure more. Perhaps a hot breakfast, a place of employment, an institution of learning, a home to return to. Having received, did you give back? I'm sure some of you did. All of us did in some measure, large or small. How and what? Can you remember that? Verse 32. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Daylight in our scriptural story is coming to an end. The day is turning to night. There is more healing, much more healing. The whole city, Mark records, is gathered, and Jesus cured many. It's worth noting, as we've done on other occasions, that Jesus' teaching and healing ministries are one in the same. They don't happen exclusive of the other. What Mark is telling us in his writing is that there's no discrepancy in this life of Jesus between what he preaches and what he practices. The last verse of this pericope, this passage for us, verse 39, lifts that up perfectly. What about us? Does anything that we say and do here on Sunday or on the occasional Wednesday or any other time we gather here, does any of that make any difference in how we speak or in the practices that we engage in our every other day life? Again, think back to your day from earlier. What did you say? What did you do to heal or to help, to encourage or to empower someone else? Our scriptural day is drawing to a close, but this first day, the first 24 hours with Jesus, is not over. Finishing this passage, beginning on verse 35, in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went through Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That last passage, it was still very dark, a loaded phrase in Mark's gospel whenever he uses it. The place where Jesus prays is described as deserted. The setting, in other words, is not a precious moment's frameable image. The disciples, we in our reading, have discovered Jesus in a time of his own searching. I know it's early morning before sunrise for him, but I imagine nighttime in our lives, our bedtime prayers as we lay our bodies down to sleep, however you may offer them. Dear God, how was that? How'd I do today? Did I make a difference? And what next? I imagine Jesus is wondering just that as his first full day of ministry ends and the sun rises on another one. What next? And even as that sun rises, the city is back at Simon's house so that Jesus may heal them. Simon and the others, we read, hunt him down to tell him this and to implore him to come back. But he says what? No, let us go on. And that sounds a bit callous, I would imagine. It does to me. Who will take care of all those in Capernaum who need healing and wholeness if Jesus leaves? Well, those who experienced his healing in the synagogue and at Simon and Andrew's house the day before are now empowered to help. Simon's mother-in-law will surely continue to serve. Simon and Andrew themselves, though with Jesus for a while, will return to their hometown and carry on the ministries begun there on that day in their life with this one. Again, I wonder, how do we leave those we have spent the day with? Hopefully we haven't hurt or offended anyone, that's something, but is that the best we can hope for? That we just didn't make anything any worse? What about helping or healing anyone? And don't think about exorcisms, just think about hugs or observed smiles. What about showing someone something new or allowing someone to see the world any differently? Love, you see, love not expressed is difficult, if not impossible, to experience. How are you spending your days? How are you loving the world around you? At the end of this day in Mark, Jesus moves on. He does so to empower more and more and more people. He doesn't stay in the synagogue or the temple or even at Simon's house because he's not founding an institution. He's initiating a movement. And we are part of that movement. Sunday morning is important to us. Whether any of us astounds or astonishes any other of us or not, Sunday morning is important for us. This community empowers us. What we do and say, teach and preach, model and practice here on one day in our lives must not remain here for the rest of the days in our lives. Here we are a part of an institution, a beautiful, loving, purposeful community. True, but that's not all it should be. Here we are members of a church, but discipleship takes place on the road, in the kitchen, in the workplace, at school, at practice, in the gym, around the television, together. Jesus' first day must be our every day. Now, one more time. I want you to think of one particular day in this coming week. One day in the week ahead. Monday or Tuesday and so on. Friday or Saturday. Find one particular day in your mind's eye. Everyone, have you got it in your mind? Close your eyes if that helps and go to the beginning of the day you are thinking of in the week ahead. How will you teach and heal and live and love as Christ in the world? Okay, open your eyes and let's get started living our days the way we were intended to live them. Amen.